What if Bradley Chubb has his best season as a Denver Bronco here in 2022? Plus, we highlight some of our breakout and sleeper players on the defensive side of the ball. And we also talk about what if the Broncos defense is a top five unit in 2022? You get that and much more on today's brand new episode, Locked On Broncos.
You are Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What's up, Broncos country? Welcome back into a brand new episode, Lockdown Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast here on the Lockdown NFL Network, your team every day from the South Stands to the end zone. I'm your host, as always, Cody Rourke, senior Broncos analyst at Mile High Sports, joined alongside by my co-host, Sarah Bettinger. He's the site expert over there, predominantlyorange.com. Both of us cover the Broncos for the Lockdown Network and Nine News. Broncos country, thank you so much for making Lockdown Broncos your first listen of the day, every single day, free and available everywhere you get your podcast and audio format. Also on YouTube, make sure you hit that subscribe or that follow button so you never miss out on a day's worth of Denver Broncos news content and coverage. Sarah, my friend, yesterday's episode of the show, we highlighted what if Russell Wilson leads the Broncos offense to the number one offense in the NFL. We'll talk about the defense here today, look at sleepers, but more importantly, I wanted to talk about Bradley Chubb because he was back at OTA practice on Tuesday in Dove Valley, and there was just a lot of outrage when it comes to Bradley Chubb by Broncos fans.
You know, Cody, it's exciting to see Bradley Chubb back, and it will never not be weird for fans that are all up in their feels about a player that's been injured, right? I mean, it's things that are completely out of his control, and I think a lot of fans want to blame injuries on Bradley Chubb, and it's just so odd, or maybe there's a lot of fans that are just disgruntled that Josh Allen is doing so well for the Buffalo Bills. You know, we talked about that a lot last year in some offseason or some training camp episodes, just talking about, you know, the fans playing this what if game. And really, in reality, I think Bradley Chubb is the key piece. Now that Von Miller is no longer a member of the Denver Broncos, I feel like Bradley Chubb is kind of the key piece to this Denver Broncos defense, doing exactly what we're going to talk about today, potentially becoming that top five unit overall over the course of the whole season.
I quote tweeted the video of Bradley Chubb back at practice and said, hey, you know, a healthy Bradley Chubb in 2022 could be an absolute treat for this Broncos team. The responses I got it, oh, yeah, because he's been healthy the last three or four seasons. Yeah, like just all this negative toxicity. Like, here's the deal, and I agree with you. I think that he is probably the most important piece right now in the Broncos defense at the pass rusher position with Von Miller gone. This is a huge year for Bradley Chubb. Okay, look, let's address the elephant in the room. Yes, he has been injured. But what is so interesting to me is that Bradley Chubb is the most hated on Broncos player on the roster for reasons simply beyond his control. Like, Bradley Chubb went out there in his second season after having 12 sacks his rookie year and said, you know what, I'm going to tear my ACL and I'm going to miss the rest of the season. Then, you know, I'm going to have a freak ankle injury the next season. Oh, and it's going to impact me in 2021. Like, Bradley Chubb chose to do this. That is how a lot of these Broncos fans coming after Bradley Chubb, or a lot of the narratives are spitting about him, they seem very personal. I think there's nobody in this world that wants Bradley Chubb to be healthy and to make it through a full season more than Bradley Chubb. He wants that. And I think that it's very unfair, but it's like, okay, I understand that. I understand that fans have this narrative about him. Okay, yes, he hasn't stayed healthy, but why make it personal about Chubb? Why take shots at Chubb? Shouldn't you, as a Broncos fan, be hoping that he stays healthy this upcoming season and balls out to the best of his ability? Wouldn't you, as a Broncos fan, like that? See, to me, Sarah, that's where I feel like sports, the line has been blurred for so long. It's more about personal attacks rather than like, hey, you know, we wish the best for the player. And I think that's where the issue is in sports in general, not just in Broncos country. This is for legitimately every other team in the NFL, every other sport. They deal with things like this. But have people suddenly forgotten what Bradley Chubb looks like when healthy? I want to reference last season. Okay, he played in 7 total games in 2021. Yes, you want more from Bradley Chubb. But here's the thing. What stood out to me, and this is the argument that you'll see on Twitter, everyone's like, well, he had 0 sacks. I just want people to watch the tape, okay? There's a difference between stat box watching and actually watching the tape. And I noticed when he came back healthy, his first game, it sort of ramped things up. His snap count was low because they wanted to ease him back into the rotation, but then it ramped up week in and week out. But there were times that we saw him making plays, getting close to getting to the quarterback, dominating offensive linemen. Oh, yeah, and he had an interception at Derek Carr, too, that he almost returned for a touchdown. There are things about his tape when healthy, Sarah, that stands out, says this is why the Broncos drafted him. I'm not necessarily going to look at stats and be like, oh, yeah, you know, this stat supports this claim or that. It doesn't. Watch the tape, folks. That's the only thing I have to say about this. But, Sarah, I want to ask you the question. What if Bradley Chubb has his best season in 2022 as a Denver Bronco?
Well, I couldn't agree more with the things that you're saying, Cody, in relation to Bradley Chubb. And just watch the tape. Watch what he can do. Because if like you're asking, if he does go out and have a big season this year, the ramifications are huge for everybody. First of all, it's going to shut up all those annoying people on Twitter that have been jumping into our mentions the last couple of years, complaining about things that, first of all, we can't control. Bradley Chubb can't control. Second of all, what it's going to do is it's going to elevate this Broncos defense tremendously. And third of all, it's going to load up Bradley Chubb's bank account because this is a very, very important year for him. It's his contract year. I mean, this is the fifth year option. Believe it or not, we're already in the year where it's Bradley Chubb's fifth year option. So the Broncos are obviously, George Payton has talked about numerous times, hasn't he? Bradley Chubb is a core player on this team. And that was what he said last year while Chubb was still recovering from the injury. So we know that people in the know, people that watch the film, people that make the decisions in the NFL, they believe highly in Bradley Chubb. A lot of other players, Cody, I think a lot of times you see guys just get kind of cycled through. Look at a player like, I think of like Yannick Ngakoue, who's been moving around and shuffled around multiple different rosters, including George Payton's Vikings once upon a time, who traded for him. They gave up a second round pick to get him, and then they traded him away almost immediately after that for less value. So a lot of pass rushers, they kind of get cycled through, right? If they're not really elite in certain categories, but there's things that Bradley Chubb can do. Why haven't the Broncos tried to trade him at this point? Why haven't they just decided, all right, we're just going to move on. We're going to give other guys those snaps because we agree with the fans. The impact just isn't there when he's out on the field. No, that's not the case. Even if, like you said, if you're looking at just the box score, of course, you're not going to see the statistics. And we would love to see the statistics be there as well. But look back to his 2020 season when, like you mentioned, he suffered the ankle injury, but he still ended up making the Pro Bowl coming back from an ACL tear. And he dominated the Jaguars offensive line with a torn ACL. I don't understand how people can't see these things. They want to be mad about something, about anything. But now the Broncos have a quarterback. So I feel like, man, we got every reason to jump off of Bradley Chubb's back and get behind him instead. So I think you and I are in agreement on this completely. The impact that Bradley Chubb can make can elevate the Broncos defense to a level and to heights that really we hoped they could get to before he even took the field in orange and blue. Now this year, I think we're going to get to see it, Cody. I think Bradley Chubb is going to be playing with a big chip on his shoulder this year, and he's obviously got a huge goal out in front of him, not only to prove a lot of people wrong, but to go out and get that long-term contract and prove that number 55 is going to etch his place in Broncos history.
I mean, this is it. Like, this is it for Bradley Chubb. It is make it or break it this season. You talked about the chip on his shoulder that he has. I agree with you. And I think that he's ready to prove that. And look, I hope he does. I absolutely 110% hope he does. And I hope Broncos fans can get behind him. If he's having success, get behind him. And if he's struggling a little bit to start the season, still get behind him. You should want him to succeed. But then again, sports is a weird, weird place, Sarah. But anyway, Sarah, coming up here in just a moment, Broncos country, we're going to get into a conversation about our breakout and sleeper players on the defensive side of the ball here in 2022. We're eager for yours as well. But before we do that, let me tell you about Built Bar, the sponsor of today's episode, Locked On Broncos. And Built Bar is back with a brand new amazing flavor, the Brownie Batter Puffs. And if it takes you all the way back to when you were a kid, when your grandmother, your mother would make brownies and allow you to lick the spoon or the bowl, that is exactly what you're getting here, but in a Built Bar Puff bar there. And covered in marshmallow fluff with the Brownie Batter flavor is super clutch. One of the best flavors that I've ever had. My personal original favorite flavor is the peanut butter brownie. So now that I get to have brownie batter as the puff, it is my new all-time favorite that I have here at built.com. built.com. And I want you to get your hands on a box today by going to built.com. And here's a little bit of an interesting fact. For a bar that's covered in 100% milk chocolate, Built Bars contain 17 grams of protein, 130 calories, and only 4 grams of sugar. So get yours today by going to built.com. And when you go to checkout, make sure you use promo code LOCK15. That's one word, LOCK15, and you'll get 15% off your next order today at built.com. As we jump into the second half action on today's episode, Lockdown Broncos, real quick, Broncos Country, thank you so much for making Lockdown Broncos your first listen of the day. For your next listen after the show, check out the Locked On Sports Today podcast. It's the biggest stories of the day, plus instant reactions, big game recaps of all the sports, and the take of the day, which is available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcast. Sarah, yesterday when we broke down the Broncos offense, we gave our offensive sleepers, breakout players. I wanted to do the same here today when we talk about the defensive side of the ball. So I'm going to set the table for you, my friend. Starting things off with your sleeper player for the Broncos defense. Sarah, who are you rocking with this season and why?
I debated over this for a while. I think there's a lot of candidates on the defensive side of the ball, maybe more so than on the offensive side, in my opinion. I really like Aaron Patrick, the edge rusher, who we know Dwayne Stukes has called him a core special teams guy. He name dropped him along with Tyree Cleveland as two potential core special teams players for the Denver Broncos. The Broncos went out last year. For those who don't recognize the name Aaron Patrick, the Broncos went out last year. They poached him off of the Jacksonville Jaguars practice squad, and he obviously didn't play a big role off the edge in his first season with the Denver Broncos, but he did play some special teams, got some action that way. So I really feel like there's some openings there off the edge, even though that room feels super crowded. I just don't know how it's all going to kind of shake out. Like, we just found out on Wednesday that Jonathan Cooper is going to be having thumb surgery. So with Randy Gregory having shoulder surgery, with Jonathan Cooper having thumb surgery, obviously Bradley Chubb coming back from
that he's getting.
Is it his ring finger? Okay, it's a finger injury. So yeah, ring finger injury, which at the same time, you know, you never know how these little dings and things like that could happen over the course of the offseason, what kind of implications they could have or what kind of roster impact they could have. So with Aaron Patrick, I see a guy that's got the high RAS score. He's got a name drop from a coach already this offseason, and he plays at a position where the Broncos are looking for somebody to step up. We saw last year they cycled through a ton of different guys. I feel like there's an opportunity there for somebody like Aaron Patrick to come in as a sleeper, say he has a big preseason. I think he could be an intriguing name to watch, a sleeper on the defensive side for the Broncos in 2022.
And Cooper will likely be ready for the start of NFL training camp. You know, he will have the surgery, and the expectation is that he'll miss the remainder of the OTAs for Denver. But you're right. I mean, somebody has to step up, especially on special teams. When Randy Gregory's not there, Jonathan Cooper's obviously out, you're going to have different guys rotating in and vying for that third, fourth spot. And so I think if you can carve out a role on special teams, I could see Aaron Patrick becoming that for Denver. Now I want to ask you about your sleeper. Who do you think your breakout player? Who do you think your breakout player will be here in 2022?
Well, I know that for a lot of people right now, the defensive line is not getting a ton of publicity for the Denver Broncos, but I think it's one of the most interesting position battles all throughout this offseason in terms of just, you got like 7, 8, 9 guys there on the defensive line that we don't know, like, what are the Broncos going to keep 5? Are they going to keep 6? One guy whose name kind of pops up as, you know, a potential breakout candidate, I think, for a few people is Telvin Agim, the defensive lineman, a third round pick back in the 2020 NFL draft. And just like we talked about with Bradley Chubb, I feel like this year is kind of like the, not necessarily put up or shut up, but it's really a prove it year for McTelvin Agim. It's not a contract year, but I think he has to go out there and seize a role this year. And so I just feel like the stars have kind of aligned for him. If he wants a starting job, it's there for the taking. I think when the Broncos picked Ioma Uwazurike in the 4th round of the 2022 NFL draft, way too many people were like, oh yeah, he's going to be starting day one. And that speaks to the lack of productivity or the lack of proven ability from guys behind him on the depth chart. He's a talented prospect, no doubt. But I think for a guy like McTelvin Agim, you got to see those headlines and you got to be kind of like, wait a second, I'm still here. I'm going to go out and prove myself and etch a spot in this starting lineup in 2022. I think we saw a lot of positive signs from him last offseason and pretty much every time he got out onto the field, Cody. So I feel like for me, he's my breakout candidate. I think he's gonna be a starter alongside Draymond Jones and DJ Jones. And I think we're going to see him really have a big impact this season. At least I hope. I'm trying to speak it into existence, but I know you have your sleeper player as well. I focused on kind of the trenches, but maybe somebody in the defensive backfield, a sleeper for you this season.
Now, my sleeper, I'm going with PJ Locke, and he's received a lot of name drop from Justin Simmons this week, Cortland Sutton this week at the UC Health Training Center, and he's been one of those guys. Even Cortland Sutton said, like, it's been very fun watching him make a name for himself, something that Justin Simmons even touched on, that PJ Locke has been making a name for himself. And yeah, I liked Cortland's side note about the fact that they actually competed against each other in 7-on-7 in high school. But for PJ Locke, he's been this guy that was a key special teams guy for them last season, and now he's getting defensive reps. And what we saw in the preseason from him, he looked like a standout player, both he and Caden Stearns. And we didn't see much of him in the regular season last year for the Broncos defensively. And now he's been making plays. This is an entirely brand new coaching staff who really has no allegiance to anybody outside of the starters that have already been there, that have already started last year. There's different guys on this roster. They may come in and have a different view on things. So PJ Locke has a chance to maybe, I think, break onto the scene in a rotation role. Could he be in the dime? Could he be in the nickel at some point this upcoming season? Ironically enough, we haven't heard Caden Stearns' name mentioned much so far this offseason. I don't know if that's a good thing or if that's a bad thing. It's something we're going to continue to dig on here in the Lockdown Broncos podcast, but PJ has been mentioned specifically, and I'm just excited for him. I think he has a chance to break out on the scene here this upcoming season as one of those sleeper guys. But when we actually talk about a breakout player, Sarah, I'm going to go with DJ Jones, the Broncos acquisition via free agency, coming over from the San Francisco 49ers. And he had a very, very good media press conference on Tuesday in Dove Valley. And he talked about, for him, he wants to keep evolving. He wants to evolve in the pass rush part of his game. He says that he would like to achieve 5 sacks or more this upcoming season. And he's just got this mentality to him, and he's excited about that Week 3 matchup, Sunday Night Football against his former team. But he says for him, he believes that this Broncos defensive line group can be very special. And he says you can't necessarily worry about what other people think about your unit. You have to focus on coming in and doing your job, doing your part as a team. That's how you focus on winning, is by doing your job, not worrying about winning. You just come in and you put the work into place. And for DJ Jones, he's very excited. I think that he'll help the Broncos there, especially against stopping the run. But if he can evolve in his pass rush game like he wants to, he can have an impact on the pass rush interior for this Broncos team, which could help make things easier for the guys on the outside. So I'm going to go with DJ Jones as my breakout player here for the Broncos in 2022. And Broncos country, let us know down below whether you're watching us on YouTube. Make sure you drop into the comments who your breakout and sleeper players on defense are. Or if you're on Twitter, if you're listening on your favorite audio podcasting platform, tweet us right now at Cody Rourke NFL, at Sarah Bettinger, at Lockdown Broncos with your sleepers as well. We look forward to responding and hearing what you have to say. But coming up here in just a moment, Sarah and I are going to get into a conversation as to why the Denver Broncos defense will be a top 5 unit in 2022. What are the elements that will make that possible? You get that coming up here in just a second. But before we do that, let me tell you, check out the Locked On Avalanche podcast right now, hosted by Chris Maselli and Kyle Sullivan. The Avs are going on this remarkable run, trying to get back to the Western Conference Finals, which will be a tough task for them as they continue to go against the St. Louis Blues. Did they overcome that? Did they end the series last night? We'll check out the latest episode of the Locked On Avalanche podcast to find out more today. Free and available everywhere you get your podcasts. Jumping into the fourth quarter action on today's episode, Locked On Broncos. Once again, Broncos country, thank you so much for making us your first listen of the day every single day. Both Sarah Bettinger and myself appreciate all the interaction we get from everybody in Broncos country. Sarah, getting into a topic now as to why the Denver Broncos defense can be a top 5 unit in 2022. What are the ingredients and the elements that will make that possible? I think it's very important to analyze, and I'll start things off here. I think health considered, if the Broncos, and this is just a paper projection, if the Broncos remain healthy all throughout the season, the Broncos, in my opinion, on defense have the deepest roster defensively since 2015, since that Super Bowl 50 winning team. You can make the argument that they are loaded right now at almost every position when we talk about the number of players and guys who could potentially have an impact this upcoming season. Do you agree? Do you disagree?
I completely agree with you on that, Cody. I feel like obviously having Von Miller around would have certainly made it feel more like that 2015 team. But I do agree. I think with Randy Gregory coming in, if you can expect a fully healthy season from him, I mean, we may get to see the best of Randy Gregory as an NFL player with the Denver Broncos. And what does that really look like? I don't think we really know quite yet, which is why I feel like a lot of fans were maybe upset with the signing initially. But if he can be healthy this season, man, it's going to be fascinating to watch. Again, we've talked about on this show many times, the Broncos have talked about wanting waves of pressure to come in. And so you've got the ability to do that now with, like we've mentioned before, there's a lot of pass rushers on this roster right now, just in general, just guys that, hey, we think Nick Benito could be something. We think Baron Browning, Aaron Patrick, Jonathan Cooper, Malik Reed even. So there's different guys that could bring waves in that pass rush. And I think you're right. If they stay healthy, this is such a deep unit, because when you look at potentially like trying to put together a 53-man roster projection right now, it's a brutal, brutal exercise. It's a brutal task to try and cut anybody from this Broncos roster because it's so deep, like you mentioned. So I think that's an absolutely great point. But I also think just like the overall talent at the defensive skill positions, that's something that you got to look at as well.
Well, especially in the secondary, when we talk about the skill players and the rumors that the Broncos are going to play more of a nickel and dime defense, you have to have, in my opinion, I think between cornerback, your nickel players, your safeties, that's a lot of players. That's potentially up to 10, 11, 12 players that you are going to expect to contribute from a skill player standpoint at cornerback. And we talk about Patrick Surtain, Ronald Darby, Kaywan Williams. But behind those guys at the corner position, there's so much talent. We talk about Michael Ojemudia, who has not been talked about enough, I feel like, this offseason. Then you have some of your younger guys like the Damari Mathis, the Fion Hicks, the Asang Bassies of the world, some other cornerbacks you brought in on your 90-man roster. But then you look at safety. Okay, hey, you have Justin Simmons, Kareem Jackson, PJ Locke, who's gotten a lot of praise, Caden Stearns, Jamar Johnson, J.R. Reed is another guy that's been brought up. I mean, they have so many players right now, Sarah, that can contribute. It's very interesting to see how it'll go, and that's one thing I'm looking forward to seeing at training camp. But outside of that, if the Broncos can be a top five defense against the run this upcoming season, I think everything will play into the favor of what they want to do. I think they'll be a very dominant defense because we know they have the cover guys to match up against a lot of the talent that's out there. Look, and there's going to be some challenges. Davante Adams, there's going to be the other guys like the Sky Moores, the MVSs, the going through the Mecole Hardmans, Travis Kelce still. And then you have the Keenan Allen and Mike Williams inside the AFC West alone. Denver's going to face a multitude of tough wide receivers this season, but I think they have a secondary that is well equipped for. So if the defense can stop the run consistently and be a top five force against it, I think that they'll have a very strong chance of winning a lot of games. Now, Sarah, I think one thing that the Broncos haven't had enough of in the last 3 to 4 years, that's taking the football away.
They got to be able to take the football away. And you mentioned being able to stop the run. I feel like if teams have to throw on the Broncos more, that just plays into their favor. That was exactly why the 2015 unit that we mentioned, they were so great. They were so great because they shut down the run early on. Remember guys like Vance Walker and players like that, that don't get a lot of recognition for being so good on that defense. They were critical to the success of the overall unit because they shut teams down in the run and force them into second and long, third and long situations so that teams had no choice but to throw the ball at the no-fly zone. And I think that's what we're going to see a lot of this year. Like you mentioned, if we can stop the run, the Broncos have a coaching staff coming in led by Isjiro Evero. I know you're not bringing the Los Angeles Rams defense into Denver, but the Rams were 10th in the NFL in takeaways both 2021 and 2020. So they bring in that mentality that, hey, if four guys aren't getting enough pressure, then five guys will. If five guys aren't getting enough, then six guys will. And more pressure often leads to quarterbacks making snap decisions, which a lot of times those aren't the best decisions to make, especially when you have defensive backs like Pat Surtain and Ronald Darby and the other guys that you mentioned on the back. Justin Simmons, one of the best at getting his hands on the ball in the league. So I feel like takeaways have to be increased this year, and it starts up front to me, Cody. It starts up front with getting pressure off the edge. We've seen Shelby Harris and Draymond Jones be the Broncos' kind of best pass rushers the last couple seasons, but I think this year it's going to be bearing down from the outside in.
I think that's a great point that you're making, and I think you could even make the argument too, for Isjiro Evero, for this Broncos team, yes, they had Jalen Ramsey in LA, probably the best cornerback in the National Football League. No one's going to dispute that. I think you can make the argument, though, that the Broncos collectively as a secondary unit have a better secondary it, all across the board than the Los Angeles Rams. You may get some disputes from Rams fans about that. I mean, it certainly could be debatable, but I feel like with the personnel that Denver has right now in the secondary, I would take them right now over what the Rams have opposite of obviously Jalen Ramsey there. So something to keep an eye on there. But Broncos country, what are your thoughts? What do the Broncos have to do in 2022 defensively if they want to be a top five defensive unit? Let us know down below. Send us your response on YouTube or tweet us on Twitter at CareerCanFail, at Sarah Benninger, at Lockdown Broncos. Well, Broncos country, thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. Lockdown Broncos, free and available everywhere you get your podcast in audio format. Also on YouTube, make sure you hit that subscribe or that follow button if you haven't done so already, so you never miss out on a day's worth of Denver Broncos news, content, coverage, and more. We appreciate you so much. Thanks for joining us for the ride. Broncos country, we'll see you tomorrow for a brand new episode of the show.